You are listening to episode 77 of the Mad Chatters podcast, March 16th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. My name is Derek, and joining me today are my fellow co-hosts, Matthew.
It's me again, Margaret.
And Jeremy.
Shalom.
Oh, that's new. Let's head over to the parks for a second, because I want to talk about a few things that have been happening lately, and I want to get your take on. First of all, perhaps the biggest news on Twitter this week, which is strange to me because I don't really consider it news at all, but people are really passionate about purple Magic Bands. And when they first announced Magic Bands, and you know they have the slate of colors that come for free, and purple has never been included, and people, you know, were not happy with that decision. Well, now it's officially available, the purple Magic Band. It comes complimentary if that is the color you would like.
The Jeremys of the world rejoice.
Absolutely.
I mean, I do like purple, and so I'm looking forward to getting a purple Magic Band.
There you go. Now it's free.
I'm not rabid about it. I didn't quite get the whole...
Rabid?
Well, like, these people were very rabid about it. They were very excited and...
They convulsed and drooled and...
Frothing.
They have rabies.
Frothing at the... That can be used as an adjective that just means very passionate.
Oh.
Right? Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, passionate they are. Because I don't think I saw as many tweets about half the news things we've talked about this year as I did that Purple Magic Band news.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, the Disney community is weird.
Yeah. And they love their purple, I guess. So
we do.
There you go. Next time you go to Disney World, purple will be one of your options. Okay, the next piece of news is something that is related to the Magic Bands and My Magic Plus and all this. And this was something they teased a couple years ago when they first rolled out My Magic Plus. They promised these big things, you know, how when you talk to Mickey, he's going to know your name. And then when you ride certain attractions, they're going to be able to say your name. And none of that really came to be. This was called the Story Maker, quote unquote, part of My Magic Plus. Well, apparently they have officially rolled out the first sign of this because people have been taking pictures of those screens that have been set up at the finale of It's a Small World. The screens have been there for some time, but they don't really show anything. Well, lately they've started showing people's names, guests' names who are on the attraction at the time. They've been able, I guess, to read the RFID sensors and it'll say like, goodbye, comma, Jeremy or whatever. It'll just spell it out there on the screen. So how do you guys feel about that?
I personally think it looks cheesy.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I just don't think it seems kind of half-baked.
A little bit.
Maybe it's like they're testing things out right now, but yeah, like I when I went Friday, that wasn't even working, and it was late, so maybe that was why they didn't have it working, but the screens, if the screens were working from the pictures I saw, it looks cheap.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? What exactly does it show up? Just your name scrolls
just
across?
The name. And it even lists, like the one I saw listed a few names, and I don't know if maybe those three people were together in the same party. That would make sense. But it could be that they weren't related at all. And it would say like, Auf Wiedersehen, comma, and then below it would be like Jeremy, Matt, and Derek.
No, see, I don't like that.
And it was even like a very generic font. Like it wasn't like a big flat. You know, the other signs are the fonts are these giant bubble letters with like flowers.
That whole last room gets on my nerves anyway, which we've talked about before on this episode. Throwing some TV screens in there makes it like a Buffalo Wild Wings, if you ask me.
But this even feels like a step below what E.T. does at Universal.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't like it. I think that perhaps the idea that I heard floating around was where you could create your own small world child, you know, before you came on your trip, and then it would somehow be seamlessly woven on a screen in this one of the scenes. I like that idea. I think that concept's kind of cool.
Except I don't think seamlessly weaving a screen into It's a Small World is possible. Like that seems like an oxymoron to me.
To be like in a window.
Yeah, maybe like in a window of one of the buildings or something, you know, where...
Or they could do that Nemo-style projection where it's like on a see-through screen.
Something like that, you know, would be cool. But this just seems very Chuck E. Cheese to me.
A little bit. Some people were upset, like, what if I don't want my child's name flashed in front of everyone? I don't really care about stuff like that.
Why is that a problem?
Well, I mean, that was the first thing people started complaining about when they first even introduced all this stuff a couple years ago. It was like, oh, you're going to know exactly where I am and you're going to know my name. It's like, well, I mean, they already do. The half-baked, I feel like that was a good description of this, because it's like, oh, that's fine, but really, like, that's it?
Yeah.
See, when I went through and it's not working, in the odd, well, you know, at Disney World, in the all-too-often case where something isn't working, when you ride through this finale, if it's not working, all you're going to see is, like, it was just a screen with one of the, you know, different languages saying goodbye. But it clearly looked like a TV screen that just had this on it. And I'm like, yeah.
Did it say like Vizio at the bottom or whatever brand it was?
No, you know, it's framed in the flowery, you know, stuff that's it. The frame goes along with the other signs, but yeah. There's clearly a glaring TV screen there.
You take your universal remote with you and you can turn it off as you go by. That'd be kind of fun.
I think it would be cool if it illustrated your name, like, from left to right and spelled out Jeremy in, like, these big, cool letters. But it was, like, Comic Sans font, you know, like, Derek. And it was, like, size, like, 14, maybe. It was so small on the screen. Anyway, maybe they're just testing it out, playing around with it, but...
I would say that's what's going on. Well, let's hope.
Maybe in the next year we'll see more and more signs of this.
Do you think there's, like, a college... intern back there, like, typing them really quick as they go by? Like,
yeah, I don't know. No, I'm sure there's some sort of code for that.
Like, it's misspelled.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe so. Okay, so another thing online. They released a survey recently, and a few people scratched their heads on it because the survey said, one of the questions was, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase, but it was, if we charged a $15 resort fee to cover Wi-Fi, parking, your Magic Band, stuff like that, would that affect your decision to stay at a Walt Disney World Resort? And so, of course, when you see a question like that, you wonder, does that mean we are going to get $15 resort fees soon?
See, I am totally against all this resort fees, and I'm going to tell you why, too. It's the same thing what the airlines did years ago, and now that's illegal. So, like, when you book a plane ticket, any fees, everything has to be known up front. They can't advertise a $45 ticket and then charge you $55 in various fees on top of it. It's $90 from the or $100 from the beginning. Now, personally, I'm all about, tell me what the price is and that'd be it. There's nothing that infuriates me more, even when it's just a couple dollars, because some of these... it's really bad in Orlando. You got to be careful if you stay off property. A lot of these little resorts, they will get you with the resort fees. And it's like, you know, maybe you got the room for $45 and then they try and stick you with a $25 resort fee. Just tell me the room from the beginning was whatever price it was. Don't try and shuck and jive me. Even if it's just $5, $10, $20, I say just, but even if that's it still just hacks me off. So I hope Disney does not go to this because there's nothing more frustrating than... especially for people like, I'm going to say us, because I think we're all in the same boat, who we are not independently wealthy. When we take trips to Disney, we each have to save and make our money count in different areas. And so when you show up and then all of a sudden there's extra things you have to pay for, that's just so infuriating.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's things that they've always included in the price up until now.
Absolutely.
Like you said, just raise the price of the resort that I'm staying at every night. Don't call it some, you know, hidden fee. Horrible.
When we were in college, this reminds me of when we were in college. We all went to the same school. And they used to charge in the dorm for laundry. And you had to get quarters, you know, or whatever, and pay for laundry. And I would have much rather them just charge an extra $30 per person per semester in living in the dorm and giving us the laundry free than charging us for the laundry. And they probably would have come out better if they'd done that, because I don't think everybody in the dorm paid $30 a month for laundry. But it's just like, when you feel nickel and dimed, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. And this may never come to be, but you know, about a year ago, one of the surveys asked about tiered ticketing, and now we have that. So it's certainly a possibility, but not a certainty. So anyway, the final piece of news I wanted to talk about was something they just released this week. They've done it the past couple years, and that is March Magic, which is the online tournament where you vote for your favorite attractions, both at Disney World and Disneyland, and then the final two will be a Disney World attraction versus a Disneyland attraction. And starting this week, they've released t-shirts for all of those attractions and their mascots. Lots of fun designs this year. Did you guys look at them again?
I saw them on Twitter, but I'm kind of over this whole concept personally.
I just wish the shirts weren't so much, because honestly, if they were $15 a piece, I would get 5 or 6.
I like the little logos and the different fonts and the things they've thought of for the teams. I'm not one that's going to get on and vote and follow it and all that stuff.
So. I just want the shirts. I don't care about voting.
Yeah.
Because my vote's not going to make a bit of difference. But
That's like this whole year for me. I just want the shirt. I don't care about voting.
Touche. But just for the record, I love the Buena Vista Red Car Trolleys shirt. I really like the Small World Travelers. Of course, the Tomorrowland Movers, because it's the TTA People Mover on there. I like the Soarin' Sliders. I don't love that attraction, but the shirt's really cool.
That sounds like little mini burgers.
It does, yeah.
I'm going to order the Soarin' Sliders with the Hakuna Matata sauce or whatever that was a couple episodes ago.
Hakuna Matata sauce.
Matata sauce, that was it.
There you go. But it's not. It's a picture of like a hang glider. But anyway, you can go to Disney Parks blog and check those out this week. March Magic. All right, well, let's kick this off.
Wait. I wanted to ask you something. I have not seen Zootopia yet. I know you've seen it, Derek.
Yeah.
Matt, did you see it?
I didn't. We were going to.
Yeah.
Did not.
Oh, good story.
It's on my radar. Just see. Hopefully.
I was going to say the exact same thing, but you beat me to it.
I wanted to get your opinion because I have avoided spoilers thus far, so if you can do it in a spoiler-free manner. I really don't even know the crux of the film other than it's kind of this, almost looks to me like a buddy cop film kind of a thing. Maybe yeah. Not. But I keep seeing people talk about the political agenda, or the agenda rather, behind the movie. I just wanted to get your feedback on it, Derek, what you thought about that.
Okay.
In a spoiler-free manner.
Okay. Yeah, we saw opening night. First of all, loved it. I really, really did. The first half especially just made me laugh a lot. But then, like, it gets, you just get really absorbed into the story. Lots of good characters, tons of little gags, because, you know, it's humans who are living in a society that's basically like it, excuse me, it's animals living in a society that's basically like a human society. And so there are tons of little gags with, like, giraffes and like lemmings, you know, how lemmings are known for following one another. They kind of play on that idea, things like that. Just one after the other. So I really did enjoy it. As far as the agenda goes, the word agenda to me sounds like, oh, brother, what are they trying to push on it? And it didn't feel like that. Like, it felt like a message that I don't think anyone would be against, really.
Hold on. No, somebody clarify for me. Because I haven't read anything about it. What is the agenda people are claiming it's pushing?
I don't think it's anything that anyone in America would have a problem with. Like, it's a pretty good message. And it's about... I don't think this will give it away. That's why I'm trying to be careful with my words. But I guess, like, in the most basic sense, racial profiling is a thing that comes to my mind.
I'll just say spoiler alert.
A mild little bit. Spoiler alert. Very, yeah. Very mild. I won't give any plot details away. But yeah, racial profiling is what keeps coming to mind, because it's the sense where the story begins where it's telling that they're telling their history, and all the animals used to be, you know, broken into the prey and the predators, and they were all primitive, but now they have built this society where everyone can live together. And that's kind of like what we are today, you know, like America is this melting pot of cultures and stuff. But throughout the story, you realize that still characters have these preconceived notions, even where it's not evident on surface level. Like, when you start to dig deeper, you see that even the main characters have these kind of preconceived notions about what certain animals should be. Like, bunnies should not be cops. stuff like that.
Okay, so discrimination is
It really is, and I think
so
that's
why would anybody be against that?
I didn't read anything where anybody was against it. Did you?
I don't want to say people were against it. I saw a few tweets that like, oh, I didn't really appreciate how they were trying to shove things down our throats. We get
it. Like the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence.
Well, you know, it's Twitter. People whine about everything.
I reckon that's probably the explanation.
I feel like Disney kind of has a history with that. I mean, think of WALL-E. Think of Inside Out. Like all these things have little messages that.
And I think we would all agree that you shouldn't discriminate against anyone.
I hope no one left like, ugh. Just let me be a racist if I want to be a racist.
I can't believe I missed the Trump rally for this.
Yeah. Ugh.
That's probably back there in the tweets somewhere before this.
Probably so. But for real, two thumbs up. Highly recommend it. I might go see it again. And the animation, holy cow. I remember seeing the trailer with the sloths at the DMV, and when his face brightens up, just being like, how did they do that animation? Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many good animated bits.
It sounds like they've tapped into what made a lot of the early Pixar films so great. Like, immersing you in this completely... It's like a human world, but with these things, like fish, bugs, toys, monsters, and now it's just... animals.
Yeah. The only thing I worry about is there's a lot of technology in it. Like they tweet and things like that. And I'm like, is this going to date itself really quickly? Mm. You know, 10 years from now, will there be Twitter? Are kids going to say, wow, that looks ancient, what they're holding?
Yeah.
What do they eat? Can I ask that question? What did the former carnivores even eat?
They don't really show that. I mean, they show the bunnies. The bunny's main job before she wants, when she's a child, her family's job is they grow carrots. So that's naturally pretty in line with what bunnies do today. But, I mean, you know, as far as eating carrots go. But they don't really talk about the predators. That's a good question.
There's a bad, terrible underbelly to this society where they harvest
rabbits.
Unborn rabbit fetuses.
Wow.
Talk about political.
That's the sequel.
It's the background music, the things unseen. It's the hidden gems and things in between. Though perhaps hard to spot, we sure love them a lot. It's the small things after all.
This segment is where we each tell you all something that we enjoy about Walt Disney World. Now, we do that every single week, but it's the small things after all. It's the small things after all, specifically, as you can tell by the title, deals with very small, maybe unnoticed, and overlooked things that we enjoy about Walt Disney World.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. So why don't you kick it off?
I don't want to. I have three things I'm thinking. I'm going to see what y'all say.
I will go, and y'all are going to make fun because when I say it, you're going to say that's not small because it's Spaceship Earth. But the thing I love about it is I feel like it changes the more you look at it. Like when I think about the color of it, and in certain pictures, it can be just gold, like bright gold, depending on where the sun's hitting it. When you arrive at the park in the morning, it just looks kind of dull gray. Like sometimes it almost looks chrome, depending on whether it's sunset or sunrise or something. And I love that about it because it's one thing at first glance, and then it becomes so many different things. Like, that is the most... It's one of the most incredible icons in any Disney park, I think. I know, you know, it's got this history. Like, when I was a kid and I watched the Full House episode where they went to Epcot, it was the big golf ball, and that's what it always was to me. But the more I look at it, it is just the most incredible structure. And how... this is apart from the looks, but, like, you know, how it drains the water to run down the side and... just all sorts of things. Like, the more you look at it, the more you discover about it. And that is what I love about it.
Yeah. That's a big old small thing.
But I know. But I almost want to post, like, three different pictures where it looks three completely different colors to show what I mean.
My small thing is the handprints out front of the Great Movie Ride in the theater there. And I was flipping through my phone, looking through pictures, as I often do when I'm feeling nostalgic for Disney. And I noticed how many pictures I actually have of the different handprints out front there, and I know I'm kind of a loser in that aspect, but I was flipping through and I was like, oh wow, these are really like, this is something very unique and something that you can't necessarily repeat in today's world because half these people are dead now, like, you know, like the Golden Girls and, you know, Robin Williams and these kind of things. So I just think they're really cool. And it's a little piece of like Hollywood history. And now that it's opened there now without the stage and people are able to see it, people feel more comfortable walking up and enjoying them. But before it was so hidden that you almost felt like you weren't supposed to walk back there. You might get in trouble
behind
for being back
the stage,
there.
Right.
Yeah. So, but now that's open, more people can kind of see and explore. And I wouldn't be opposed. There's still room for them to add some. So I wouldn't
be
opposed.
And they say, who's Rick Moranis?
Yeah, no. Those can go.
No, stop. They all need to stay. They just need to be added to.
But that's the thing. Like, they've been there almost 30 years now and they haven't been added to. Like, if that was the plan, I would totally be on board. But now they just feel as dated as the rest of that part.
Yeah, talking about dating, I like them there. Maybe I like them.
Well, if Disney decides to get rid of them, I'm going to be a GoFundMe something because I'm going to be buying them from Theme Park Connection where they ship them off to. And I'm going to have the best sidewalk in the whole neighborhood because it's just going to be celebrity handprints all the way to the front door.
Yeah. See, I think they should promote their movies with it. Like when Pirates of the Caribbean reaches 100 million, they can bring Johnny Depp and do a big ceremony at the park, you know? Or if Zootopia reaches whatever, Jennifer Goodwin can come and do her handprints. Like, they need to tap that market.
Boy.
That sounded good, right?
Yeah. But you really dropped off. You were Johnny Depp to Jennifer Goodwin, man.
I don't know. People love their Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I am not people, but some people. Anyway, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you like them.
Thank you all for poo-pooing on my small thing. Your turn, Matt.
Sorry.
My small thing comes in... I can only think of two. And I'm going to title my segment here, An Ode to Magic Kingdom Waterfalls. And this is because I was walking past the Tangled restroom area on the way to Haunted Mansion this past Friday night. And was reacquainted with that waterfall that's there that trickles down into a creek. And you get that the burst of Disney water smell that we talked about some last week with just the natural sounds of water flowing. Then over in New Fantasyland on the bridge over to Be Our Guest, there's a wonderful waterfall there at the Magic Kingdom. Oh, and I might throw in one more. The waterfall that's there beside Cosmic Gray Starlight Cafe that we mentioned on a previous episode that you used to could sit outside and enjoy, but they've since screened that entire place in over at Cosmic Gray's. But there's still a lovely waterfall there next to the castle that might be there for cleaning purposes, but it's still pretty and provides a wonderful kinetic energy to that spot. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Something people always overlook or take for granted, at least.
Mm-hmm. But it's water.
And now it's time for one of our favorite segments. Take five. This is when we throw out a topic and each of us describes the topic using five words. Well, I say each of us, except today I'm lacking a little bit, so I may pass on a few because I just might.
That's okay, because last time we played, I'm pretty sure three of your five had six words. So.
That is true. I'm very loosey-goosey.
You made up for it.
There we go. Yeah, I'm one of those overachievers that I invest in.
You have rollover words.
So I'm going to host it, and let's get started here. The first topic, Main Street Electrical Parade.
I'll go first. Repetitive music, unidentifiable floats. America!
Okay, Matt?
Christmas lights and super glue.
It's still holding after all these years.
Can make it at home.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of one, and Matt reminded me of the smoking float in the middle of it with the giant boy's head. So my five words are Cheech and Chong present Pleasure Island. That's six words, don't judge.
Pleasure Island's one word. Pleasure Island.
If you say it fast enough, it's one word.
Yeah, Cheech and Chong. Cheech and Chong.
Next.
All right, next topic. The rising prices of Disney food.
Gotta offset those gourmet hot dogs. They did not do well, apparently.
It better be Kobe beef.
Yeah, it ain't.
The benefits of being anorexic.
Oh. I'll have to try that next time.
It's working for me.
Not advisable.
You ain't no doctor.
The next topic. Autograph books.
Should I just go first every time?
Yeah, let's just do that.
eBay's least valuable autographs ever.
A high-priced forgery collection.
Mm-hmm.
How much for pad paper?
So true. That was like not a full sentence.
How much for pad paper?
That's I'm for trying our, to play within the rules, okay?
For our international guests.
That's so true, though. Not the international guests thing, the pad and paper.
I'd be like, we have a free pad at the hotel. Would you sign that?
Exactly.
I'll just cross out the Holiday Inn at the top. All right, next one. Flower and Garden Festival topiaries.
Okay, just to set you up, I'm referring to the Great Movie Ride on this next one, okay? More lifelike than tour guides. Because, like, now with the eyes and the expression and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like they're more lifelike.
Zing!
Yeah, obviously.
Painted leaves on chicken wire.
Aw. Ruin the magic.
I mean, these things, the way people go on and on about them, and like, oh, how do they do that? Like, they really started with a big old, like, round shrub and, like, actually carved this thing. It's like, no, they just made a sculpture out of chicken wire and then grew a plant on it and then painted it. I don't find these impressive at all.
Oh, that's like, sad.
Putt-putt no course. Kidding.
Yeah, you don't say.
Our next topic, FastPass Plus.
Mine is very simple. It's the cry of everyone who has used this system. Bring back the legacy fast passes.
Preach.
Am I right?
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Church say amen.
Mm. Amen.
I said, even weddings require less pre-planning.
That's true.
It's probably not, but
thank you. There's a lot of thinking to do.
There really is. It's so stressful.
And then about, you know, where you're going to go to dinner, and you don't want to hop across the park, and then you... Oh, not to mention the stupid way that you get more, and you have to wait till you use all three, and nothing good is left. I mean, the whole system is just bonkers right now.
Yeah. Next one. Value resorts.
Value resorts. Loud guests, even louder decor.
Hmm. Along those same lines, cheaper with bigger theming. Score?
And in my three words, cheap, gaudy, fun, like me.
Mm. Yes, when I think value resorts. Jeremy.
Except I'm kind of pretentious, so it doesn't really work out. Last one. What was the last time? Oh, seasonal ticket pricing.
Apparently Santa works on commission.
Yeah.
You gotta pay, $124 if you're gonna go in December.
Good night.
Pay more to wait longer.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Hey, but that's why. That's why you're paying more. Because people will still come.
Well, this Take 5 ended on a sad note.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Kind of depressing. Well, let's go jump off a bridge or move on to the next segment. I don't know.
On a more uplifting note, we're gonna talk food. Woo!
Yay!
Several episodes ago, we talked about the quick service restaurants at Magic Kingdom, kind of gave a general rundown, actually a very specific, detailed rundown of those. And we're going to do it again, but this time we're going to go to Epcot. Lots of quick service options over there. Ironically enough, as I look at these, I have never eaten at a quick service restaurant in Epcot. At all.
Then you sound like the perfect person to come to for advice about it.
Yeah. Well, no, this episode is not to give advice. When we can insert advice, we're going to.
Right.
But mostly, I just want to talk about the options that Epcot has for people who do not know and are maybe planning a vacation soon. But yeah, I've been to plenty of table service restaurants in Epcot, and I've done the booths at Food and Wine, but I guess I've just always eaten at other parks when it comes to quick service. But that being said, we're going to start in Future World, and I will list these and get your take, of course. Let's start over in the Land Pavilion with Sunshine Seasons, which I should note is the only quick service restaurant in Epcot that serves breakfast.
Mm. You've never eaten there?
You know, I'm pretty sure we have eaten there.
Yeah, I was going to say,
maybe
we have.
Maybe I have.
I think we have.
It's forgettable. That's the first thing you need to know about lunch at Sunshine Seasons. It is forgettable.
Well, this is the one downstairs in the Land, and it's very reminiscent of a food court in a mall, like just at first glance. Not.
It's terrible.
Really? Because I've actually heard good things about Sunshine Seasons.
It used to be this really highly themed, like every little stall had its own little facade. And it was really kitschy, old school Epcot wall carpet to the max stuff going on. And I remember the food being really good, especially a barbecue chicken sandwich. Since it's come into it this, when Soarin opened and they redid the whole thing and it's got this very mall feel to it, I think the food at Sunshine Seasons, maybe it's because, this sounds terrible to say, maybe because it's fresh and there's lots of vegetables, it's just very bland. But that's the only way I can describe the food from here. It's just very, very bland.
Okay. Well, I think the thing I hear about it most often is the dessert it serves. So let's start with dessert. They have chocolate mousse cake, creme brulee, cheesecake. The things I hear about most often are the carrot cake cupcake and the key lime tart. Oh, and the strawberry shortcake. I always see pictures of that, of people raving about it. And then they have an apple caramel crunch and tiramisu. So they have a lot to offer in the sweets.
Now, to be honest, I don't think I've ever had dessert from here.
See?
Yeah. I'm not a dessert person, so even when I got the meal plan, I would typically just get like a juice or yogurt or ask if I could substitute that for dessert.
But well, next time you go,
maybe
try one of these.
Mm-hmm.
But then as far as menu items, they have a few soups, but then the only menu items they have as far as entrees go are oak-grilled rotisserie chicken with black beans and yellow rice, oak-grilled salmon with green beans, and a slow-roasted pork chop. And all of those will cost you between $12 and $14.
And that's just at the one place. They're like three or four. It's like a, it's almost like you're... What?
Well, that frustrates me because I thought that was the case, but their online website, also known as a website, only shows those items. But I thought that was...
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of one of the food courts at, you know, like a moderate resort, where you got the grill or rotisserie place, then you got the sandwich and salad and soup place, which they have, and they have like a Black Forest ham sandwich and things, Caesar salad, and then they have a little Asian place that has noodles and rice and different below mall level Chinese food, let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah. Now that you say that, I'm on a different website, not Disney's official website. They have like a spicy tuna noodle salad, a tuna side salad, sesame crusted tuna. Over in sandwiches, they have a Southwest chicken wrap, turkey, Monterey Jack, and Chipotle on ciabatta. Things like that. So yeah, you're right. They do have more than just those oat grilled items.
I mean, if you're in Future World, you don't want to walk over to World Showcase for lunch. If you're doing Future World in the morning, this is a fine place to eat. I mean, it's bland, but you can find something there. And there's variety. So if you're with a large group or family, everybody can still go there and eat. And you don't have to try to sort it out and meet up later and go to different places. Everybody can find something they might enjoy.
And you're in the Land Pavilion where it's nice and air-conditioned. The cool balloons are above your heads.
You could ride Living with the Land afterward.
True. Yeah. So there are worse places to eat at, I think.
One we're going to talk about soon.
Let's head there now. Actually, no, there is a land cart, the land cart right outside that just has like fruit and cheese plate, excuse me, and hummus, Mickey pretzels, things like that. You can also go to Fountain View, which is now the Starbucks. It used to be like an ice cream place, and you can make your own ice cream sandwiches. Now it's just your typical Starbucks. You'll find Starbucks items inside. But the place that Jeremy, I think, is referring to is the Electric Umbrella.
Unchanged since 1982.
Probably so. Some of the items you'll find at the Electric Umbrella are the French dip burger for $11, a sausage and pepper sandwich for $9.50, a veggie naan, which chicken nuggets, vegetarian flatbread, and a 1/3 pound Angus bacon cheeseburger for $10.
I feel like I should try this place.
Don't do it.
It's got a lot of bad reviews, but maybe that's just because of the way it looks. When I said unchanged since 1982, I'm referring to the Chuck E. Cheese carpet and the red benches and the primary color umbrellas hanging down from the ceiling. But I don't know, a veggie naan, which does not sound bad. Neither does a French dip burger or sausage and pepper sandwich. So maybe I'll give it a try and see if it can overcome some of the prejudice that has been leveled against it.
You're taking the message of Zootopia to heart. I'm proud of you.
Yes.
I just often think about the quote, and we say it all the time, that was mentioned on another podcast, WDWNT, in which they said, if you're eating at the Electric Umbrella, you're doing Epcot wrong. Yeah. And I just, that always has stuck with me. To me, it just feels like if you were somewhere that offered a lot of great variety and great food options, and you chose McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. There are some friends of ours out there in Radio Land that may not appreciate variety and or flavor, you know, taste in their mouth. And so, like our good friend Carl, he does not like things with salt or pepper or like seasoning of any kind. I'm just picking. He's not that bad. But some people just want, chicken nuggets, even if they're at Epcot. And that's fine. For those people, there's the Electric Umbrella.
Well, I was going to say, though, this, with the exception of the burger and the chicken nuggets, this is really not bland food. I mean, sausage and pepper sandwich?
Basic food. It's okay. Theme park food. Chicken Let's nuggets, burgers.
I have never heard of a sausage and pepper sandwich. That is so strange to me.
Like an Italian, not like an Italian sausage. Think of like an actual sausage link.
Oh, I was thinking that, but I was thinking of it like on slices of bread. I was like, well, that's weird.
That sounds like heartburn to me. That's what that sounds
I'm pretty
like.
Sure it'd be on like a sub roll, right?
Probably so, now that you say that. Touring plans. Touringplans.com just reviewed this place a couple weeks ago, and I remember the...
Touring? What'd you say?
Touring plans?
Oh.
Touring?
I said Touring. Touring plans.
No. T-O-U-R-I-N-G.
Touring.
They reviewed this place, and they... The headline was something like, Electric Umbrella, does it deserve the hay? Or something like that. And the end
Verdict?
Conclusion was yes, it does. They got the they got the French dip burger, and they were like, it was just not good at all.
I just wish I would love for that to be the headline, and then when you clicked it, it just said yes, and that was yeah. Cool.
I wonder what would make it a French dip burger different. I mean, what's different about that than it's just a burger served with au jus dipping sauce?
It is a burger with the French dip on top. So, like, what is French dip? It's like Italian beef, maybe. Shredded Italian
yeah,
beef.
Yeah, oh, that, yeah, that, okay, so that makes sense. It's got something extra on it. It's yeah, got, like, it's, the shaved beef on it.
Right, on top of
and
the burger.
Probably, like, provolone with caramelized onions.
No cheese. It does have, like, little fried onion straws on top.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense, then.
Yeah.
They should have just left off the burger and just made it a French dip, though.
Well, there's a burger, too. Oh, you mean, like, in the actual item they should have?
Yeah, I think it'd just be a French dip sandwich.
Probably, like, so, especially since they already have the bacon.
Why the burger?
Bacon cheeseburger.
And they could charge the same amount for it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, for Disney.
Let's get out of this place. A few left in Future World. There is, I actually mentioned this last week, but there's the Test Track Cool Wash, which just sells, like, drinks and chips. But right by Test Track is Taste Track, which is a small cart right outside the attraction. And this actually just opened, I think, last year. And they've started selling gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches.
Talk about jumping on a trend bandwagon.
Oh, totally. Too late.
And a bad one, too.
It's funny because I remember the pictures they showed when they announced this. Like, the bread was burnt. I was like, you couldn't have taken better pictures of your products. Anyway, but they have three different grilled cheeses. They have a, you're going to have to help me, Gruyere, mm-hmm. and applewood smoked bacon with caramelized onions on sourdough bread. They have a fontina and tomato basil with balsamic glaze on sourdough bread. And they have Canadian cheddar and apples with apple butter on cinnamon raisin bread. And they're all around $10 for these
that
grilled cheeses.
That first one and the last one sound good. But the thing with these gourmet grilled cheese, no matter where I've had them, you know, there's that chain Tom and Chi. Is it Tom and Chi? Is that how you say it?
I think so, yeah.
That was always just... every time I've had one of these quote-unquote gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches that was there at a restaurant or a stand or something, they always sound so wonderful and just don't... They never deliver on flavor.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is because the Gruyere and bacon with the onions sounds terrific. But I know once I bite into it, I'm just going to taste... toast.
Yeah.
Basically, that's all I ever taste with these things.
It's possible. But anyway, that does it for Future World. Now, Matt, why don't you take us into World Showcase? Because I think this is where the real stars of Epcot Quick Services are.
Except I got assigned World Showcase East. But it's okay. There is one that's good. There's one that's good.
I was going to say, I thought your favorite was in World Showcase
East. It is. But amongst other... not so good ones. Let's start at La Cantina de San Angel. And if you cannot guess which country this is Mexico, right to your left as you're entering World Showcase. On the menu here, some of the highlights include pollo cascabel, tacos de pollo, tacos de barbacoa, tacos de pescado, empanadas con queso. And then they have nachos and some salads and different kinds of dips and things. I think that I have eaten here before, and I just got the tacos, just like the regular. I guess I would have had the tacos de pollo because it was just three little. Now, here's where you get, I think this is not a good deal. If you like Mexican food, go here because you can get chips and queso, and the food is good. Think like Fresh Mex when you think of Mexican food for this place. That's what it reminds me of, a Qdoba or Moe's or something like that. But that being said, those tacos are $12, and they are literally three regular-sized corn tortillas, and you can't see my hand. Think about, like, a CD, maybe smaller than a CD,
like,
or
the
DVD.
7-inch tortillas.
And, I mean, there's, like, a spoonful of chicken on them, and then you can top it how they top it with a few things, and you can put some other things on there, salsa from the bar and things like that. But, I mean, that's $12 for those. That's $4 a taco. $4 for a spoon of chicken. So, I mean, that's up to you. Now, the one thing that seems new to me that I don't remember seeing on the menu is this pollo cascabel, which is grilled chicken, Mexican rice, corn, cascabel sauce, and pickled onions. And the cascabel sauce is It's like a mixture of onions and peppers and tomatillos and tomatoes and garlic. It's basically like a spicy salsa that's really, 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 really blended.
Oh.
So it looks good, but I've never tried it.
Also, just a quick side note, A Spoonful of Chicken is actually a new song from the Mexican version of Maria Poppins that's coming out.
Maria Poppins. Maria Popino.
Just a spoonful de pollo. Helps the heartburn.
Go down. No, it just increases it.
The one thing I always hear about this restaurant are, I always hear about the churros with caramel sauce. Like a lot of people on their top dessert. 10 best snacks or whatever always list these.
And they have paletas. Is that how you say it? Paletas?
Yeah, those are those popsicles. We have those here. Those traditional Mexican like fruit popsicles with real fruit.
Now, I don't know which flavors they have, but they are good. Speaking of those, no, I'm going to hold that for a future Munchies and Merch. See, I'm learning to withhold.
Oh, good job. Good job.
To make shows in the future.
That's what also, you call, in the biz, we call that a teaser.
Ooh. Also in Mexico is the margarita kiosk. So if you enjoy your alcoholic bebidas that are about $10 to $12 a piece, they have different flavored margaritas at this little stand. It's a cart, not a cart, but it's a... a snack shack that's outside of the actual pyramid as you're walking down towards the next pavilion.
There's and the tequila bar inside as well.
I was going to say, I think it's safe to say that all of these quick service restaurants serve alcohol of some sort.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's such an integral part of international food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. This, now, to be honest, this particular margarita stand does not seem to appeal to like cultured drinkers. It seems just more of, I mean, they're in the lid, they're in the big canisters and they pull the lever and get them. It's just people that want a quick margarita. If you're wanting the fancy stuff, go inside. Like Jeremy said, I've heard they have some sort of, oh, good grief. They talk about it on another podcast all the time. I don't remember what it is. It's like a cinnamon something margarita that's got chocolate. Oh, it's a coffee margarita. That's what it is. But they rave about it. I've never had it myself, but coffee and tequila together, who knew? But if you want the fancy stuff, yeah, go inside the actual pyramid to that tequila bar, and they have the margaritas there that are a little more fancy. Well, let's move on to Norway, which is the next pavilion. And this has some really great stuff. I myself did not discover our first stop, the Kringla Bakery Og Cafe, until my wife Jessica and I, take a drink, went in 2012. And we just stopped off here for lunch because it was early, about 11 o'clock. We said, we just want something light. We don't want to go to a restaurant. So we stopped here, and I got the ham and apple sandwich, which is what I would tell you is the go-to. I know Jeremy disagrees, but he can talk about his choice in a minute. The ham and apple sandwich is on a wheat bread, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a toasted ham and cheese with Swiss, and then but there's apple, what would they call it? Apple chutney. Apple chutney. Oh no, there's onion chutney and grilled apples.
I was going to say, I thought it was like apple slices.
Yeah, I think it's like apple slices, grilled apple slices, and or they're hot. I don't know about grilled. Toasted apple slices, who knows? And then there's onion chutney. The onion chutney is where it's at on there. But that's a terrific sandwich. Sounds like an odd combination, but the sweetness of the apples complements the ham and the cheese really well.
I think that's Anna and Elsa's sandwich of choice, is that ham and apple sandwich.
I'm sure it is. Especially the ham part. That.
Wah, wah.
Jeremy, what's the sandwich that you like here?
I always get the roast beef. I'm trying to look it up right now.
Good old Arby's roast beef.
Wait, it's looking like it's not on the menu anymore. What? What? What?
Maybe it was replaced by the Norwegian Club.
I think it was, or at least the Norwegian Club sounds similar, because didn't you like the Munster cheese that was on there?
Yeah, but it didn't have the turkey and bacon on it before.
Jarlsberg Munster cheese.
Believable.
Hey, but that one sounds good with the lingonberry mayonnaise.
That does sound really good to me.
Guys, I'm so sad.
Ham,
so
turkey, sad. And bacon. That tops roast beef, in my opinion, but...
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't
yours have, like, some horseradish or something on it?
I don't remember. Anyways, it was a good sandwich, and now I'm really sad. But it's still the best place.
Like the Maelstrom. It has sailed into the great North Sea and off the side of the world.
So there's a Disney person, and we shouldn't say his name because some of our listeners may enjoy this person, but we do not enjoy this person. And he podcasts and has his own website and all these kind of things. But to his credit, he was the one that I heard rave about this quick service and inspired
was it me.
By it. No, yeah,
I honestly don't know who you're talking about, but we'll just keep that confidential for now.
Can you put a bleep on me? You should bleep this. Bleep this.
Okay. Oh my gosh! Yes.
See, but he
speaking
was
of this person. One of the let's get to the sweet stuff because one of the things he loves is something I also enjoy, believe it or not, and that is in the sweet department, and it's something called lefse, which is, I guess, a Nordic, Norwegian, Scandinavian sweet bread. It's like a potato pancake that's rolled out into a tortilla. Mm. And I say tortilla just to give you an idea of what it's like. It's like a flat, rolled out pancake. But it's very bready. It's not toasted or fried or anything. And then it's got a cinnamon sugar buttery spread on the inside. And then it's just simply rolled up. And so when you get it, I think it comes in twos. So when you make it, get an order, it's two of those. And I love it. It's got a little tangy taste to it. And if you ever had like potato bread at the store or something like that, or like some kinds of Amish or Moravian bread that they make with potatoes, like mashed potato leftovers, it's got that kind of consistency where it's a little starchy in your mouth. It's good stuff. Plus
now,
the
what are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Lefse.
Oh, okay.
It's called lefse. Yeah, but that's good stuff. Now, my wife, who shall remain nameless... And,
well, you never say her name, though, on this podcast.
And Jeremy and many others love a certain dessert here called the school bread. Mm. Not the school bread.
The school bread.
The school bread. I like it, but I would choose the lefse or one of the sweet pretzels over the school bread. School bread, if you can think of just like a really thick dinner roll, like the size of a tennis ball.
You're not really selling this.
Well, now look, it's flavored with cardamom, which if you've had Indian food, there's a lot of that in Indian food. And then inside of this really bready, I just don't want to give them the impression that it's like a pastry. It is a pastry, but it's really bready.
It is. In fact, my friend Brittany, who just got back, and I recommended she get the school bread, raved about it. Yes, raved. Mm. Loved it. And she said the thing she loved about it was that she expected it to be so, so sweet, but it wasn't. No. Like, the bread really counteracted the sweetness inside.
But don't get me wrong. I think this is good. It's just not, like, to die for, like it seems to be for many people. Inside this chunk of bread is a cardamom cream. So think like a Boston cream, very custardy, that fills the inside of this. And then they kind of do a little dollop on top, and then it's topped with some toasted coconuts. It is delicious. I mean, it's good. And especially, I love cardamom, so I really enjoy it. But it's just not like, I mean, there are people that, you know, when they come, they go and they send someone into Epcot just to get that because they have a one-day ticket and they're going somewhere else.
Wait. I did exactly
like
that.
We did.
Yes, I was going to say somebody like Derek.
That my family that was in town this past weekend wanted us to do the same thing. I was like, well, yeah, it's a long way.
Jerk. I would have done it.
Sorry, Dustin and Emily.
Have either of you had the troll horn?
I have not.
I think I have. And I think I was, yeah, I have. It's underwhelming.
Okay.
It's like your local supermarket cream horn.
Yeah.
Nothing special about it.
It's just one I always hear about.
Derek, you've actually you wrote a blog for our website about trying to make the sweet pretzel.
Yeah.
Food, correct?
Yeah.
So you've had the sweet pretzels there?
No. I've had the one I made from the recipe.
Was yours good?
The taste was good. It's just the icing was more like watery icing.
The execution failed.
I guess so.
Aw.
Hey, I think it would turn out just the same if you tried to make it, because I feel like I follow recipes pretty well.
I don't try to make pretzels.
the pretzel turned out great, like the rising and everything. Oh. It was the icing that was like water, sweet water. It just ran off the side.
That sounds so appetizing. Sweet water.
But the taste was really good, so I would try it if I went.
Well, I would say this. There's lots of good choices here. And there's a line, but it tends to be relatively uncrowded. There are some nice places to sit outside underneath the grass roof next to the Stave Church. Actually, I don't know how any of that's going to work anymore. I don't know if any of that's even still there with the additions. But this is a great place. If you get there mid-morning, you get to World Showcase at 11 when it opens, and you just want a quick little snack to hold you over for maybe an early dinner at a sit-down restaurant in World Showcase, this is a great place to go for a little snack.
I'm calling it now. In 2017, it will be Christoph's Cafe.
Oh, help us.
Why? Why did you put that out there? You know we have good luck on this podcast with things happening.
Oh, that's true.
It will not be called Christoph's Cafe.
Ooh, reverse psychology.
All right, let's move quickly into China. China features one quick service restaurant, like full out quick service restaurant called the Lotus Blossom Cafe. Again, I would say, much like the Chinese at the Sunshine Seasons at the Land, I would say this is sub mall level Chinese food, more akin to what you might get in like a Lean Cuisine type meal. I'm just not a fan of the Chinese food here, but on the menu here are the pot stickers, orange chicken, a beef rice bowl, Hong Kong style vegetable curry over rice, sesame chicken salad, and shrimp fried rice with egg roll. Now, to be fair, the only thing I've ever tried here was they used to have beef and broccoli on the menu. I have tried the orange chicken, and both of those come with either white rice or fried rice. But the egg roll, you know, it tastes like your average frozen Kroger egg roll. If you're going to eat Chinese food, you want something Chinese, you're feeling that hankering for lunch, I would advise you to go to the Joy of Tea, which is just a small booth beside that really elaborate gift stall that's there on the main promenade through World Showcase. Not even back in the middle of China, but as you're walking along the main promenade. The Joy of Tea sells, as you would imagine, various teas and slushes, and there's also some alcoholic beverages there. But they also have food, and they have Chinese barbecue pork buns. Mm. And on a recent episode, when we were talking about last week's episode, Munchies and Merch, they sell these kind of buns, a specific kind for the Flower and Garden Festival and Food and Wine. But this one is barbecue pork, and it's a Chinese steamed bun with a Chinese flavored barbecue pork inside of it. Delicious. They have egg rolls there that I think are better than the ones at Lotus Blossom. They might be the exact same, but they taste different to me. Curry chicken pockets, which are also very much like those steamed buns. And the thing is, I think you can get a combo for $10 of one of each.
The lucky combo.
With a beverage?
Let me see. The lucky combo. Enjoy our delicious combination of pork buns, a Chinese pocket, and an egg roll with your choice of a soft drink and an ice cream.
You get everything. Speaking of ice cream, I think one of the highlights here, now it sounds strange, I think one of the highlights here is the strawberry and red bean ice cream. That sounds really strange, but I can't remember where I've had it before, but I've had strawberry and red bean ice cream. I think it was at a Japanese restaurant, and it is delicious.
Besides strawberry red bean, their other option is caramel ginger, just for the record.
Mm. You would think that a beanie flavor would not be a good description for something, but the beanie flavor with the strawberries is really delicious. It's nutty. It's almost nutty. There you go. Who wants nut flavor in their ice cream?
I kind of really want to try that now.
People who like pistachio?
Yeah.
Yep. Almond.
Next.
Peanut
the
butter.
Climactic.
Hazelnut.
The climactic.
Walnut.
You're ruining the moment.
Sorry.
For the best stop for food, quick food, at World Showcase East. And that is the refreshment cool post.
Stop.
In, I guess, Africa. We're not quite sure what this place is.
The entire continent of Africa in 20 square feet.
And it is summed up with three things. Hot dog with chips,
trail mix, and a soft serve cone. So if you're just a real loser,
this and is, soft drinks.
This, oh yes. Sorry, I forgot about the that makes all the difference in the world. Let's just move on. Don't eat there. Never go there. I don't even know why. Why would you go through World Showcase and go get a hot dog?
That's a really good question.
And trail mix. I mean,
just drown yourself. Just drown yourself.
Just go jump in the lagoon and drown yourself.
Yeah.
Go get over one of those cannons and just let the fireworks shoot right through you.
What are you doing out there? I had a hot dog.
I had trail mix from Africa. Trail mix from Africa. That just sounds like a bad idea. Next, Summerfest at the Germany Pavilion. This place, first of all, is very hard to find because when you walk into Germany, you'll see people walking around with beer and pretzels and hot dogs and things, and you're thinking, okay, this smells good. I want one of those sausages on a bun or whatever. Where can I get this thing? And you have to go in as if you were going into Biergarten restaurant, underneath the clock in the big double arches, go around there, and this restaurant or stall, basically, is inside of the column in between those two arches, and it's only accessible once you walk inside. So it's very hard to find, but here they serve, what, as you could imagine, typical German fare, bratwurst, frankfurter, which is a fancified hot dog, hand-twisted pretzels, and noodle gratin, and some potato salad. So if you're just in the mood for some German sausages, it's got sauerkraut on it and things like that. Pretzels with mustard. I actually have never had the noodle gratin, but
isn't it gratin? Like potatoes au gratin?
I mean, if you're American.
Anyway, well, I was gonna say the noodle
shame.
The noodle, which is spelled N-U-D-E-L, noodle gratin, whatever it's called. I've heard a lot of people rave about that because they also have it at their German booth every year for food and wine.
Yeah,
and I've heard really good things. Good, yeah, it's basically macaroni and cheese with a lot of like seasonings and
the gratin or gratin part typically means that it's been baked in like a little ramekin, and so I'm sure that's good. I've never had that. I have had the bratwurst.
Is this this the one that's right next to Biergarten?
And yes, that was like there. The first 5 minutes of my review was.
Oh, I'm
talking
so
about
sorry. I was
where this reading. Was.
My bad.
He was working on his take five. No, it is hard to find. It's in there where the big mural is, you know, where there's the urban legend about that was going to be the boat ride. And if you walk into the arch, you turn around as if you're going to walk back out. The window is there in between the arches and the column. It's very strange.
I want to know, like, it's one of those things where it looks like a Doctor Who, like, TARDIS. Because you see, like, this pole, and you're like, what in the world is that? And then, like, you turn around the corner, you're like, there's people inside of that pole.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a whole kitchen in there. Like, how do these people fit in there?
It's a magical hot dog place.
It really is. Like, you're like, I don't understand. It never stops. Like, it looks like it's only,
there's
like, 3 feet
beer
big.
And hot dogs and pretzels coming out of it.
It's amazing. It's magic. Yeah. That Disney magic. That's my small thing. I want to re-record mine.
Yeah. Next, I see this is where you just get the real winners, you know, Africa, Germany, and then America. This is perhaps the most disappointing. Of all the things that could represent American quick service food, there's the All-American Burger for $15 freaking dollars. So I don't know what's on that thing. There's got to be like barbecue.
Seriously.
And bacon and onion rings and like a pancake.
There's the and a corn dog. There's a corn dog wedged in there.
That's right.
And the feathers of eagles.
Mm.
And the tastes tears like freedom. Of terrorists.
Mm. Let's sit on that one for a minute. There's the classic cheeseburger, which I would imagine is pretty basic for $13. They do have a New York strip steak. I didn't know they had this here. I don't know what I would be ordering a New York strip steak at a quick service for.
It's cheaper than the burgers.
Yes, it's $12. Man, it's got to be like in strips or something. It's got to be cheap.
It's the same quality meat that you would get at your local Taco Bell.
Mm. Yeah, I can't imagine Taco it's Bell. Very good. There's fried shrimp. There's the grilled chicken BLT sandwich. Again, there's a hot dog. Southwest chicken salad. This is the best. There's the red, white, and blue salad. Like, let's attempt theming on one thing. It's obviously greens. There's grilled chicken, diced cranberries, pecans, apples, blue cheese, there's your blue, and sherry vinaigrette.
Oh, I'm looking at the New York strip steak. Oh, never mind, that's steak butter. I thought there was a giant chunk of fat on this, but there's steak butter. I'm going to hold it up and see if you can
And this see is this quick picture. Service?
This is quick service.
Well, that doesn't look half bad.
It's bigger than I expected.
With the two pieces of broccoli.
Yeah, two pieces of broccoli and one like slice of like grilled potato.
Well, that's probably why it's cheap.
But you do get that butter on the sign.
Ah, that's not bad looking. I might go try that out.
Stop. Do not waste your money on Liberty Inn.
Wait, I got to try Liberty Inn, Electric Umbrella. I might as well just take out Africa while I'm at it.
It's going to be the best hot dog with chips you've ever had in your life.
Let's not forget the clam chowder and baked beans. Also in America, you can find a funnel cake stand and a pretzel stand. So, yay, America.
Wait, and the fife and drum with the turkey leg?
Oh, yeah. Good old American turkey legs. Mm. I don't know. I don't guess there's a way they could really nuance American quick service food to make it better.
Well, the good thing is when I walk through American Adventure, I don't smell anything except for the funnel cake stands. So
yeah, it smells fried, which is pretty typical of the American South.
That is true.
I mean, literally, I can walk out my office right now and smell the Maryland fried chicken place down here cooking it up.
Yep, America.
That's Future World East. Full of good flavors and African trail mix.
Well, let's keep this party going and go to World Showcase West. And so from America, we're going to go to Japan. And there we have the Kabuki Cafe. You can find sushi, edamame?
Yeah,
edamame.
And
let me ask about edamame. If you're a listener out there who enjoys edamame, I'm a person who enjoys different cultures' foods, ethnic foods, but this is $4 for edamame, and what it is soybean pods, right? And they look like pea pods, and you just pop the little soybeans out and eat them.
Yeah, and I went to a hibachi grill recently, and someone said, "Oh, I kind of want to get those as an appetizer," and I said, "I've never had them," and they said, "You've never? Oh, you have to have them," and I ate them, and I thought, well, that's something. I've done that now.
I think that this is one of those things that it's just Americans being pretentious. It's just white guilt laid on so much that they think they have to try to like everything that other cultures have invented. And I think the Japanese are probably sitting around thinking, those Americans are so stupid to be buying the soybean pods and eat. It's like eating peas out of a pod with like sprinkled salt on them. I mean, they're bland. There's nothing good about them.
That's exactly how I feel about boiled peanuts.
Ugh. Oh, I like boiled peanuts.
More white guilt. Mm.
No, that's kind of the thing here in Central Florida.
Yeah, it is. And Georgia.
I like them.
Yuck. Okay.
They have flavor. These don't have flavor.
Katsura Grill. You can find sushi, udon, teriyaki, chicken, beef, or salmon, and Japanese curry rice. I can honestly say I have never eaten quick service in Japan, so I have no comment or preference.
I will say the udon, whatever, those noodles, that kind of reminds me of what you said about edamame, because when I was in Japan, one of the places we went served us udon noodles, and I really enjoyed them, but they were like, oh, this is like our most basic meal we could ever serve. Like when you're short on money, that's what you serve your family is udon noodles. But I was like, these are so good.
Pasta.
It's like ramen.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, it doesn't taste like ramen, but I know what you mean.
Is the Kabuki? I'm getting mixed up with these. The Kabuki Cafe. That's the one that's out, like on the main.
Yeah, it's basically there, right? A cart.
Okay, they also have shaved ice that's really good.
Oh.
And you can do like Japanese style shaved ice. Is that kind of Hawaiian, like this really finely shaved ice, like Ooh. Snow?
Yes.
And you can get the flavors with evaporated milk. And that sounds weird, but it's like you get like cherry, but then there's like this really rich cream on it too. Oh, it's so good.
Ooh, I love shaved ice like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hop on over now to Morocco. And I have eaten at this cafe, but only have I gotten the baklava. Is that a part of the cafe where you can buy the baklava, or is that separate?
Sure, we'll say it is.
Okay. But if you are looking for something meal-wise, you can get the Mediterranean chicken wrap, the Mediterranean falafel wrap. Falafel wrap.
Falafel wrap.
The Mediterranean lamb wrap, the shawarma chicken platter, the Moroccan kefta sandwich, Mediterranean sliders, hummus, and the couscous salad.
I love the Tangerine Cafe. Now, look, here's the thing. It does get expensive because the thing I've had there twice is the shawarma chicken platter, and I did add the lamb, which brings it to $15.99. It's a lot of food. And a shawarma is just, think of like gyros, like that kind of flavor, shaved chicken, and then the shaved lamb with that wonderful gyro taste to it, tzatziki sauce, and it has the little pita pockets. The couscous here is wonderful. It's cold couscous salad, and it's got a citrusy taste to it, but it's good. So if you like Mediterranean food, gyros, stuff like that, this is a great place to go.
Side story, there's a really great Mediterranean restaurant right down the block from our work, and I would eat there every weekend. It was so good. And then one day this girl at work's like, "Are you ordering from there again?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "But isn't it like the same thing every time, no matter what you get?" I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, like everything, even though it might have chicken or whatever instead of beef or blah, it's all really just tastes the same." And that just like ruined Mediterranean food for me, because she's absolutely right. It all tastes the same.
Kind of like how Mexican is a taco, burrito, or enchilada, but it's all just
different ways. Exactly. So yeah. I hope I didn't ruin this for any listeners. But
no, I don't think that would ruin it for anybody with a brain in their head.
For people, for people who enjoy Mediterranean unique foods, I've never heard anything bad about Tangerine Cafe. I've always heard, positive recommendations for it. So
I think the kefta is to be avoided. The kefta is like ground lamb that's formed into a log. I can't think of any other way to say it but a log. So it just looks like a turd, and it's very gamey tasting. People don't like lamb. You know, if you don't like that taste, it's got a little bit of a gamier taste than beef. And my wife tried it one time at another Mediterranean restaurant and didn't like it. So I would go for some of the more flavorful options, like the Mediterranean wraps.
And I absolutely recommend the baklava. In fact, also, if you are suffering from a little bit of traveler's constipation, I'm sure the hummus will help you out.
Yeah, so get your food and go into that little history museum over there that nobody's ever in.
Have it all to yourself.
Now we're going to move to France, the country of France. And, these French names help us all. La Artisan de Glacé? Glacé?
Glacé. Say glacé.
Oui, oui. Uh-huh. There you can find... is it ice cream or is it gelato? Or is it something
it's
else?
It's ice cream.
I think it's ice cream. Maybe a ice few cream. Sorbets.
You can get...
I just realized that I skipped Italy completely, so I'll insert something in a minute.
Oh,
there's not much to say with Italy.
No, they do. I didn't need to mention it because we just skipped over. They do have the gelato place. That's what reminded me of it.
Just say it right now, then go ahead. Let's just show it, warts and all. Go ahead.
You said gelato. Gelato reminds me of Italy, and I forgot that there's a gelato place in Italy. So there you go.
Oh, thanks. I just didn't want that in.
I just didn't want people to think I had left out a whole country. You know, we mentioned freaking Africa and their trail mix, so I at least can go to Italy and mention their gelato. They do have a wine shop there where you can go sample wines and things too. So, bravo, Italy.
Yeah.
All right. Back to France. And that is, so you can get macaroons there. You can get one scoop, two scoop of ice cream. Café glacé, which is an iced cappuccino with ice cream. Oh, croquet?
I think it's croque, right? Like croque madame?
Croque glacé.
This is any flavor ice cream in a warm brioche.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
That does sound really good.
And the coudimont...
Just stop.
No, I can do it. Coudimanche, which is two scoops in a waffle bowl.
I think it's probably dimanche. Because you pronounced it like Spanish.
Oh, you're right.
I could be wrong. Okay, I've seen just recently someone ordered that croque glacé, whatever, which has ice cream in a warm brioche, and they showed them making it. Oh my gosh, you guys, it looks amazing. It looks so good.
And it's bread. I mean, it's like eggy bread, right? Brioches.
Yeah, it did kind of look like that, like a really spongy bread.
Yeah.
And they make the macaroons fresh, don't they, right there?
Yes. In fact, I was about to say, this place has its own Twitter account. It's L'Artisan, Des, D-E-S, and then G-L-A-C-E-S. Anyway, just search something close to that. But they have their own Twitter account, and they tweet the most, like, delicious, delectable-looking photos of their macarons, and because they have different specials every month. And some of these are just normal macarons, and some have ice cream in the middle, like ice cream sandwiches.
Hey, these places, the ones in this ice cream place, though, are the ice cream ones.
Oh, okay.
So the regular ones are in the patisserie that makes sense.
Talk about like a bakery.
Because I was looking for them last time I was on a mission, and I waited in line in an ice cream place only to find out the ones there are just the ice cream sandwich types.
That makes sense because this whole place is ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And but then that takes us to
La Hausse Boulangerie Patisserie. Oh, man. In this place, you can find a...
In this place.
Jambon berry, beru. This is a ham and cheese sandwich with Dijon mustard butter on a demi baguette.
Baguette. That actually sounds really good to me. It's basically a ham and cheese sandwich on a baguette. But still.
With the Dijon mustard butter.
Oh, of course.
Then you have the brie aux pommes. This is brie cheese, I'm assuming. Apples and cranberries on multigrain bread.
Sounds good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A dinde BLT. Turkey BLT and garlic aioli. Mm. A croissant jambon fromage. I don't have a description for that.
It's basically a ham and cheese croissant.
Okay. A poulet au pisto. Chicken breast with cheese, tomato, red onion, and pesto.
We should have invited some French friends on. Just to pronounce all of these.
Say this now. I do know the next one.
Oh, then go for it, because I don't.
Oh, I do. Only because Matt corrected me when I said it a few episodes ago.
Niçoise.
I would have never said niçoise. But that's tuna, potato, egg, beans, tomato, and dressing.
And this is a salad. This should be noted that this is a salad.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. When it's just listed out, yeah. Tuna, potato, eggs and beans.
You fry an egg, pour it on top.
I see bumblebee tuna on top of like a mashed potatoes with scrambled eggs, baked beans, tomatoes, and Thousand Island dressing. That's what I'm seeing here.
That's not what this is.
That sounds gross. Mm-mm. But who puts potato in a salad? That's weird.
Maybe they're like crispy.
How is the potato prepared? Because if it's like a mashed potato in the middle of your salad.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm sure they're like little fried, like little shoestring, the little potato sticks.
Like a hash brown.
No.
Like a potato stick. Okay, yeah. Then you can get a cheese plate, a lobster bisque, spinach quiche, a croque monsieur. Monsieur? Mm. What is that?
A croque monsieur. Isn't that it's just a ham and cheese sandwich?
I don't know what there's a monsieur is.
I'm seeing a lot of ham and cheese in France.
They like ham in France.
And then for dessert, I recommend this. The best dessert, well, not the best, but a really good dessert in France, chocolate mousse. Love it. I absolutely love it. It's so good. So light, but so rich. Then the macaroons, the creme brulee, the puff pastry, the eclair, the parfait.
My favorite is the fruit tart.
Someone was just telling me the other day, they said, you've never had one of the lemon tarts from France? They're so good.
Oh, I don't
know
about the lemon tart. I'm sure it is good. The one I like is the little tart shell that's got the cream in it, the custard in it, and then it's topped typically, I don't know if it's seasonal, but it's usually topped with some sliced strawberries and kiwi.
Mm.
And then, you know, that's brushed with some kind of sugary something or another, but it's delicious.
This won't surprise our listeners, but seeing as good as my French is, but I've actually been to France twice, one time with Derek. And Derek, do you remember the first time I went on our trip and we were with a girl, and she must have ate like 20 lemon tarts in 4 days. Like,
oh, totally.
Every time I turned around, she was buying another lemon tart. And it was like me with the chocolate mud pies in Disneyland. It was like, you need an intervention.
It's funny because as I look at the quick service for China, I can't help but think that's not really what they eat in China, like orange chicken, things like that. No. But as I look at this bakery for France, like it screams everything we saw in France. Like the little sandwich places that you just walk up to and get your baguette sandwiches, and all the pastries are just like spot on.
Yes. I've never actually gotten anything savory from here. I've only ever gotten pastry. My favorite is the fruit tart. I like the almond tart that's like a pastry with an almond cream in the middle. But all the other things look and sound and smell good.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to try them, and they'll reheat them for you. The thing is, it's like already made, and it's in this cooler viewing thing, like, and then they'll pull it out. Yeah, and they'll warm it up for you. So I should try it sometime.
Yeah, the brie, apples, and cranberries on multigrain bread. That sounds really good.
Okay, moving on now to the United Kingdom. There in the United Kingdom, you can find the Yorkshire County Fish Shop, and there you get fish and chips. And fun fact, these fish and chips are exactly the same quality, probably the same brand, same distributor, as you can find at the Columbia Harbor House in the Magic Kingdom. Trust me, I'm an expert on the fish and chips there, and the one time I had them in the UK, I said, this is exactly the same. So, there you go. If you like fish
and chips.
The Epcot
UK, right?
Yes. What did I say?
As opposed to the actual country.
You said the one time I had them in the UK, I didn't know. Have you ever been there?
Yeah. No, I meant in Epcot. I have not been to the actual United Kingdom, although here's hoping. So, again, if you like fish and chips, and there's nothing wrong with that, they're $10.50 there in the UK. And that's your only quick service options, really, in the United Kingdom. Other than, like, you can find some shortbread cookies, I guess, in the tea shop.
Ooh, those are good.
If that's your jam. But, anywho. And there's also the UK beer cart, so.
What do they serve?
Oh. I like anybody? The one, Derek, in your show notes that you gave us. I like this one, popcorn in Canada.
That's what the map shows it as.
That's
it's
terrific.
Popcorn in Canada.
Popcorn in Canada. Let's not forget the refreshment port there at the beginning of there that has the good old croissant donut, which we can't say cronut because that's apparently trademarked. And the, again, chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. And
but that croissant donut that place is claim to fame. Like, it might have closed its shutters if it weren't for that croissant donut.
Mm. Yeah.
So the only quick service in Canada is popcorn?
As far as I know, yeah.
I guess that makes sense. I never thought about that. Yeah.
No, wait. Is it only during Food and Wine that you can get the cheddar cheese soup outside the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They should do that. They should sell popcorn and cheddar cheese soup. Those go together, right?
Yeah, sure.
The popcorn in the soup.
See?
And maybe in Mexico they can sell like taco in a bag with like Frito bags.
Yes!
There needs to be like white trash Epcot, and we'll just think of things to put
in. It's called America.
Yeah, seriously, Liberty Inn.
And then last but certainly, yeah, this is least, Promenade Refreshments. I don't even know
where
it is.
Here you go. Here's your white trash stop. You're right here.
Where is Promenade Refreshments at?
It's there next to the refreshment port. It's all like the same.
Maybe you're right. I thought it was like as you're leaving Future World, it's right in the center of the lagoon in front of you. Not in the center of the lagoon.
You mean on that walkway?
Yeah, like...
I'm picturing it as you turn right and you pass those two gift stores that maybe are like centered on the lagoon.
Yeah, and those bathrooms are right there by them as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know. Maybe you're right. Okay.
Well, Promenade Refreshments, you can get hot dog and a chili dog.
Notice that the chili, adding chili is only a dollar more, which is cheaper than if you got like a cup of chili somewhere else.
Oh. Well, if you're looking for a bargain.
Wait, what's your bargain jingle? Bargain!
Bargain! I don't really know that a jingle is so much of a shtick.
That New York strip steak at Liberty Inn is cheaper than the burgers, which means it's definitely a bargain.
I'm going to try that.
There you go first. Okay, so let's just wrap this up by doing this. You're with first timers for the day in Epcot. Where are you taking them for a quick service meal? Go, Derek.
Okay. Matt's recommendation is going to be based on what he's tried. Mine has to be based on what I've heard from you guys and from others. And so I'm going to, if they're willing to eat outside, take them to Norway's Kringla bakery and try one of their delicious sandwiches, followed by a scrumptious The School Bread.
Good choice. And by the way, it is outside, but it's covered. And so it's not like you're baking in the sun.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Matt, where are you taking them?
Well, we said lunch. It depends on how hungry they are and where our reservations or dinner plans are. So if they're not that hungry or they just want something a little light, we'll go to Norway, Kringle Bakery Og, every time. If they are a little hungrier, a little more hungry, and our dinner reservation is later and it's not Ohana, I'll take them over to Tangerine Cafe for sure. Cause I think those are the two go-to spots for me.
Yeah, I'm going to echo Norway. So I think we all would agree Norway would be our first choice and where our listeners should definitely try. But for the sake of being different as well, I would also recommend the fish and chips in the UK because I like fish and chips and they're good.
Well, nothing sits on the stomach on a hot Florida day like fried fish.
Yep. I will say, of all the ones we mentioned, the next choice for me would probably be the Mexican place just because I love Mexican food and I would want to try those churros.
And you think tacos are going to sit on the belly any better? Okay.
Okay, first of all, that was Matt that said that, not me. And I've never really had a problem with food. Like on a hot day, I've never really had a problem with certain foods messing with me.
That's why I never eat fish and chips at Columbia Harbor House or at UK while I'm there.
Go fill up on some tacos and beans and then go ride Test Track and tell me how that works out for you.
Okay, or I mean, I've done stuff like this before. Like, what was it? Fish and chips at Harry Potter followed by Forbidden Journey.
Oh, that was... Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I'll reach a point when I can't do that, but I haven't yet.
I had the bangers and mash.
Yeah.
I've never had any... The only time I ever had any issue because of food I ate in the park and then with a ride was Tower Terror. But...
I can see that.
But I think it was because there was hardly anybody in line, so we just got off and got back on and got off and got back on. And then, so the third ride, I was like, I can't handle this.
I get that. All right, well, that does it for the quick service restaurants. Lots of good choices, and we barely scratched the surface because, I mean, the table service, that's where it's at when you get to Epcot, is the table service restaurants. But lots of choices. That was kind of fun to talk about. Now I know the places I want to try the next time I go. But until then, I'm going to sign off. We love when you connect with us online, so go do that. You can find us on Twitter at Mad Chatters. You can find us on Facebook. You can always find our podcast on iTunes, and we appreciate when you leave those reviews. Thanks so much for those of you who have, and we will see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
As the French say, bon appetito.
All right, well, let's do a round of It's the Small Things after all. Matt, what is this segment again? Can you remind me?
This segment is where we... hold on. It's funny. You put me on the spot.
Sorry.
I had my coffee cup in my hand and everything.
For the record, I know the answer. I don't know if you followed that or not.
This segment is where we get... Good grief. Why can't I think about it? This segment is where we...
He's got it.
It's not so hard. It's not hard at all. I keep wanting to say we mad chatters, but I don't want to say that.
He's a wee mad chatter.
Yeah.